The National Animal Identification System is, by any stretch of the imagination, one of the most ambitious attempts at control the world has ever seen. In one relatively swift move, the government will register every parcel of land in the United States that holds farm animals, and then will have the movements of each and every one of those animals tracked from birth to death. And so today we pause to ask, will the National Animal Identification System strengthen or weaken our food chain?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 575th edition of The Food Chain right here on News Talk Radio. Or hey, perhaps you're among a friends down there in San Blas who are tuned in as we stream along the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, wherever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with Dave Michaels on the boards. Hello, Dave.
Glad to be here.
Producer Carol Stafford on the phones. Hello, Carol.
Hello there.
Folks, the National Animal Identification System, or NAIS as some call it, is truly a big deal. In essence, it is an attempt to register every parcel of land in the United States that contains farm animals and to track the movement of each of those farm animals from birth to death. The objective is control. We are told that if something goes wrong, like an outbreak of avian flu, the government wants to be able to track down the problem and deal with it immediately. Locate in 48 is the battle cry. We have talked about the National Animal Identification System before on the Food Chain with Dr. John Weimers of the, he's a senior staff at USDA, with Dr. Mary Zanoni, founder of Farm for Life, with farmers Sharon Zeccanelli and Doreen Hannes. We have found some, like Dr. John Weimers, to be ardent supporters of the system, while others, like Zanoni, Zeccanelli, and Hannes, to be ardently opposed. Today, we went looking for somebody who would really stand up for the program, and we scheduled the head Fed himself, USDA's Undersecretary of Agriculture, Bruce Knight, to join us today, and hopefully to really put his stamp of approval and tell us why this program is being instituted and how it will strengthen our food chain. But at the last moment, the undersecretary canceled and went off to Arkansas for a chili cook-off, or maybe it was off to Alabama to kiss some babies. Who knows? I don't know. But this is the first time, folks, in the 575 editions of the Food Chain that someone has ever turned tail and run at the last moment, like Undersecretary Knight has done. One person did forget that she was scheduled and forgot to show up, and several have said, hell no, I'm not going to go on radio and talk about that. But no one has ever backed out at the last minute like Undersecretary Knight. Perhaps he really did have a chili cook-off in Arkansas or some babies to kiss in Alabama. Who knows? I asked his handlers for somebody else from USDA to join us to represent the National Animal Identification System and to tell us why it is being instituted and what good it will do for us. But I was told that Undersecretary Knight is the only one who can speak on this issue at USDA, and he evidently is not ready to talk about it for one reason or another. Initially, I was really angered by the perfidiousness of this gesture, but then I got to thinking, this is really what life is all about. Think about it for a minute, folks. Someone somewhere comes up with a great notion to save the world, or to make a ton of money, or to save the world and make a ton of money. They enlist some very important people to work their scheme through the government and into law or regulation. When they succeed in establishing their great notion, they and their very important people disappear like ghosts in the night and leave us to live with their great notion and its attendant army of unfeeling, unthinking, unblinking bureaucrats. Yes, that's really what it's all about, isn't it? So today our very important person, Undersecretary Bruce Knight, has disappeared like a ghost in the night, leaving you and I alone to struggle with a very important question. Will the National Animal Identification System strengthen or weaken our food chain? Since it's you and I, and some real no-nonsense What's Eating What Radio today. Do you think granting government control over every parcel of land that contains farm animals will strengthen or weaken our food chain, our ability to eat? What do you think? Phone numbers today, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. What about it, farmers and growers out there? Will the National Animal Identification System strengthen or weaken your ability to feed us? Will it make it easier for you, or will it make it harder for you to have the government, in effect, in control of every parcel of land? What do you think? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. What about it, consumers? Will the National Animal Identification System strengthen or weaken your ability to obtain food? You know, in World War II, they encouraged us to have victory gardens. They encouraged us to go out and grow our own food because they didn't have the ability to provide it for us. The food was going elsewhere. It was going to our servicemen, so we were all told to establish a victory garden and grow your own food. But now they're registering all of our food animals, and they want us to track them on their behalf from birth to death. So is it going to make it easier for you to obtain food, this National Animal Identification System? What do you think? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. The VIP has disappeared like a ghost in the night, and we have only ourselves today, you and I. Do we trust the government to provide for us? That is the essence of the question, and the phone numbers are 800-624-2665. We're going to start off today talking with a previous guest who was with us when we talked about in the National Animal Identification System before. Her name's Sharon Zeccanelli, and Sharon is a small farmer in Vermont. Sharon, welcome back to the food chain.
Thank you, Michael. It's good to be back.
So let me ask you this. Are you the reason that Bruce Knight is afraid to come on the food chain?
Well, I'd like to think so. Do you want my take of what I think happened?
Yeah.
Well, I got in touch with Rufino, who is Bruce Knight's special advisor, and explained to him that we would like to submit some questions. And he said, and I'm looking at my email chain now, and he said, yeah, that'd be very interesting to do. So then he said, he wrote me and said, please send me your questions / criticisms ASAP, Sharon. We'll try to respond ASAP in turn. That was yesterday. So Doreen Hannes wrote 9 questions, and I know that they're on your forum.
Yeah,
there.
We posted them on the forum at metrofarm.com.
Right. Well, I think that the questions were too scholarly, because when Rufino said your criticisms and your questions, I'm thinking they thought we were going to ask, well, can we really take our horses on a trail ride?
Mm-hmm.
And these questions are scholarly, and you know where in the Animal Health Protection Act is USDA authorized to permanently assign PIN numbers? Where does it actually say that they have the authority for NACE? Where is the conflict of interest from Neil Hammerschmidt's position as NACE coordinator?
So those are real scholarly questions.
Those are and I think that they just went, whoa, no can do.
No can do.
But I have to remind Bruce Knight, if he's listening, or anybody that knows him is listening, that they work for us, not the multinationals.
Let's go back to the very beginning and talk a little bit about, for those who are not understanding what this program will do, and most do not when it gets right down to it, very few people understand what the National Animal Identification System is. Even those with animals don't understand what's coming down the pike here. So let's kind of start from scratch, if we can, Sharon, and perhaps you can help me here.
Mm-hmm.
As I understand it, the National Animal Identification System, oops, there comes our break. But when we come back, we'll pick up on where this whole notion came from.
Okay.
Folks, this is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here. Today we're talking with you and Sharon Zeccanelli about the National Animal Identification System. Sharon is calling in from Vermont, but you can call in from wherever you happen to be. And the question we're asking you today is, do you think the National Animal Identification System will make a stronger or more viable food chain, or will it, in effect, weaken it? And it's all about government control and ceding that control to the government over our food chain, and that seems to be the essence of what's going on here. So what do you think? Pick up your phone and join us. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080.
Get this. The average acre of farmland in or near the city limits may earn in excess of $123,000 per year. To learn how so much can be earned from so little, pick up a copy of MetroFarm, the guide to growing for big profit on a small parcel of land. MetroFarm is the PMA Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner by Michael Olson that contains over 500 pages of photos, charts, checklists, illustrations, and in-depth interviews. MetroFarm will teach you how to develop a strategy, survey markets, select crops, organize business, establish production, prepare for market, and make the sale. MetroFarm will teach you how others just like you earn a good living by growing high-value specialty crops for people who are truly appreciative. Abraham Lincoln said, "The greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living from a small parcel of land." Get in on that future today. Pick up a copy of MetroFarm at bookstores, lawn and garden supply stores, 1-800-624-BOOK, or at www.metrofarm.com.
Welcome back out there. This is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here, your host for today. And we were to have had Bruce Knight, the Undersecretary of Agriculture, with us today to talk about the government's National Animal Identification System, a system in which the government was to identify and register every parcel of land on the here in the United States that holds farm animals. You have three chickens, you register your property. But that's not all. You don't not only register your property, but you track your chickens from birth to death. So if your chickens happen to get off your property and make it over to the neighbor's property and commingle, you identify that chicken and you notify the government of its movements. So imagine the paperwork that's involved in something like this. If you have perhaps 100 goats or something like that, holy smokes, a job indeed. As I said, we were to have Bruce Knight here to tell us about this program, but he backed out at the last minute and went away to Arkansas to a chili cook-off or something like that, but he is gone. But we do have Sharon Zeccanelli with us. Sharon is a small farmer in Vermont, and before we went to the break, we were going to start talking about exactly what this system is for people who are not aware of it, and I would guess that almost very few people, in essence, are aware of the program throughout the United States. Do you find that to be true, Sharon, or are you probably running with some people who are very much aware of it?
Well, I'm running with people who are very aware of it, but also we spend a lot of time doing outreach, mm-hmm. and talking to people who still don't know about it. I went to the farm show in Barrie on Tuesday and passed out updated NACE information, and I was surprised the amount of people who still don't know about it. It really boggles my mind.
And so, it's easy to get something through government if nobody knows that you're getting it through government, right?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And you know, the mainstream media won't carry it. We've asked we've asked all the mainstream media outlets to carry something about it, but the only thing that they'll carry is commercials for Locate in 48.
Okay. So let's go back to the beginning. Where did this whole notion come from? Do we know? Did this emanate from the government itself or somebody else?
It emanated from business, and then they got government in on it. And so if a person were to go to the National Institute of Animal Agriculture's website, also called NIAA, and look at their membership list, you could see that it's, you know, it's all agribusiness. Cargill, Monsanto, Holstein, Fair, Tyson, Walmart, et cetera, et cetera. And Digital Angel, Verichip, the manufacturers of the RFID chips. So really, there. And then also, too, it really, I think, has its roots in unilateral trade agreements, the UN and WHO and the OIE.
So if we're going to be
At one point, they wanted to inventory every livestock animal on the face of the planet.
Oh, not just the United States, but the entire world.
Right.
Okay, so they have this system, and it's ostensibly to, I guess you might say it's to aid in the in international trade.
Right, so it is. Well, for example, Texas was just declared brucellosis-free. Mm-hmm. That means that the whole of the country now is brucellosis-free and been certified as such. And so other countries that that's just a trading chip, you know, another marketing thing.
Right.
And we've, 'cause there really hasn't been a huge outbreak of any foreign diseases for a very, you know, very long time.
We're also watching for things like mad cow disease, for the avian flu. We're afraid of what terrorists might do. So the government says that if we know where everything is, if we know where every parcel of land is that holds animals, and if we know exactly which animals are on that land, we can really track down the source of a problem right away. And
we can track down the source of the problem in the case of foot and mouth disease or avian influenza, and then kill all the animals in a 12.4-mile diameter and burn all the wooden structures. That's so important to, you know, how are they going to handle the disease? Well, that's what they're going to do.
And that's kind of what they're doing throughout the world when it gets right down to it, isn't
it? They're doing in England, that's right.
Mm-hmm. So that's how you manage these disease outbreaks.
Well, it's one way to manage them. I think that there should be a better way, but anyway.
Okay. Well, isn't this the government's argument then for the National Animal Identification System, that if something goes wrong, we can control it and manage it and go on? Okay, but how does this impact agriculture itself? Now, essentially, we're talking about two kinds of agriculture. We're talking about agribusiness, you know, animal factories, if you will, that manage many thousands of animals all the time. And then we're talking about small farmers who might have, 10 chickens or something like that. Is there a difference in how each is managed under National Animal Identification System, or are they both to operate the same way?
No, it's different. Those concentrated animal feeding operations, also called CAFOs, they are afforded the luxury of one group identification number per in and out lot.
Okay, so if you have 100,
10,000, that could be 10,000.
So if you have 10,000 chicks coming in, and you raise them into broilers,
right?
Then you give them one number.
Yes, and somebody like me would need an individual number for each one of my chickens.
Because they were each hatched at a different time and go through the life cycle at a different rate, and so each one of them is different. So you have 100 chickens, you have 100 registrations in.
Yes. One premises registration number and individual animal ID numbers.
So in essence, it looks like it's a lot easier to do on a factory scale. Has anybody ever pointed this out to the government, that it works here but not there?
I know that the people who know about NACE and are working, contacting their representatives in Congress and on the state level, they're telling in bed, but you know, it's just fallen on deaf ears, or they just choose, like Bruce Knight. He's like the poster child for government just ignoring us. And so I think...
And you're easy to ignore because you're not Monsanto or one of these companies that can afford to donate a lot of money to somebody's campaign.
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, you said you asked the question, would NACE make our food supply safer? Didn't you start that question off this morning?
Well, that's, you know, I was initially going to ask Bruce Knight how this system works and will it work and those kinds of questions. But since he did not show up, this leaves us with a program for listeners. And so I want the listeners to consider that question. You know, they listeners, some of them are in agriculture. Most of them, like in real life, are not in agriculture, but they're consumers. And so this is a question that will have a profound impact on their lives someplace down the line, probably not for a while. But
Can I point out something that came up today? The Humane Society, HSUS, did a sting operation at this plant, a meat plant, a slaughter establishment in Southern California, where they caught on video the downer cows being basically tortured to make them get up to walk onto the slaughter line.
So they wouldn't be a downer cow anymore.
Well, no, my point is that downer cows were, number one, supposed to be out of the food chain.
Right.
Number two, this particular plant is a supplier of federal food and nutrition programs. Okay? Mm-hmm. So there are federal food and nutrition programs. That food is ending up in the WIC, women and infant children, and ending up on school lunches. All right? Now, they're acting like this is the first time this ever happened.
But probably not. Sharon, we have to take a quick break. When we go back, we're going to go to the phones. So pick up your phones and join us today, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Do you believe that the National Animal Identification System will make for a more secure or a less secure food chain? Give us a ring right back. Well, what do you think out there about this National Animal Identification System? Do you think it will make a more secure food chain if the government registers every parcel of land in the United States that holds a farm animal and then tracks the movement of that animal from birth to death? Think of the control. Think of the logistics. Think of the ability to move and do things. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Sharon Zeccanelli, Vermont farmer, I'm going to start with you. Will this National Animal Identification System make for a more secure food chain or a less secure food chain? What do you think?
I think it's going to make for a less secure food chain, and the reason why is local food farmers aren't going to want to be spied on like that. You know, they don't want to have premises registrations. I know many people are already bailing on their animals; they're getting rid of them.
Do you think that's part of the objective of the National Animal Identification System? Is to chase small people, small farmers like you, out of the business of raising food animals?
I absolutely do. They would like to have a centralized food supply, and the government that controls the food controls the people. And as I was mentioning earlier about this downer cow, let's pretend that that cow has a chip, you know, an ear tag with an RFID chip. It was a sick cow. Apparently nobody realized it until it got to the slaughter plant, and they were kicking it, trying to make it get up to get into the slaughter chain, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And how would that work?
Well, there you go. I don't know. Let's move on through the phones here. So stick with me, Sharon.
Great.
We're going to go to Mike right now. Mike was formerly in agriculture, but is now a consumer. Does that mean you're out of agriculture if you're just a consumer, Mike?
No, not at all. Absolutely not. Have to be very interested in what we're eating. No question about that. And so that puts us sort of at the fringes of being in the business, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, first of all, Michael, your show is absolutely fabulous. fortunate that I get to take my daughter to dance class in the mornings on Saturday and hang out for an hour and listen to you. It's great.
Oh, thank you.
And for what it's worth, I'm sitting here overlooking Carmel Beach, and there's a whale about 50 yards offshore just playing around in the water. Absolutely.
Wow.
But anyway, yeah, years ago I developed and built agricultural facilities all over Africa and the Middle East, and was involved in the business here in the United States for a while. And the conversation I've been hearing, and I heard your show last weekend as well, and with all due respect, I detect a sense of paranoia.
Well, that's, I'm trying to figure out if I'm paranoid.
Well, I think your guest is a little more paranoid than you are. There's no question that, you know, we don't want the government spying on us, but I don't think that a registration system for animals is quote, spying, unquote, in the usual context of the word. And that's a, you know, that word spy has a lot of connotations.
Sure.
I don't think the government could care less about somebody that's got a bunch of chickens running around their backyard. But you have to remember, and I travel all over the world all the time still, that we here in the United States have the safest food system anywhere on the globe. And when you look at the unfettered slaughter of animals that takes place in places like China and even the UK when diseases happen, because there is no ability to understand where the heart of a disease, right, where a disease starts and so on and so forth. We don't have that in the U.S. And I think this implication that the large agribusinesses, and don't get me wrong, I'm not involved with them whatsoever, but in their defense, you know, there is nobody else that has the that have the resources to do the research on vaccines and medicines and feeds. You know, every country in the world imports our feedstocks, and it's because they are the best in the world.
And because we're good at growing it, and because we have an environment that is great for growing things,
Absolutely, and we do have certain controls, and we have certain standards, both at the production level and at the consumer level, that we have to maintain, that we do maintain for the benefit of everybody.
So you think we're being a little paranoid when we look at the government's attempt to register all pieces of property and all animals? You think there's no reason to be paranoid?
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Let me pose you a question, Mike, watching the whales. All right, let's say the car industry has decided that bicycles are... Do you have a bicycle?
Yeah.
Okay, let's say the car industry decided that bicycles were cutting into their profit margin, all right? So they go to the Transportation Administration and they say, you know what, bicycles are very, very dangerous, and people get killed riding bicycles. So what we'd like to do is find out where all the bicycles are, and it's all in the name of safety, mind you. So the government says, all right, and of course they pay them a lot of money to come around to their line of thought, the transportation agency. So now they say, all right, everybody that has a bicycle, if you have a bicycle, you have to register your property where the bicycle is housed. And then every time you go out with your bicycle, when you go out and when you come back, you have to let us know, because we're trying to keep you safe. How would you feel about that?
Well, first of all, Sharon, I think that argument is indicative of what I suggested at the outset, that there's a touch of paranoia that's...
What I want to do is make an analogy so that you could better understand it.
It's not a good analogy at
all.
I'm
not paranoid.
It's not a good analogy at all. It doesn't make...
Okay.
There's no relevance in what you just...
Mike, thank you so much for that call. We really appreciate it. And say hello to those whales, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's go to Rich. Rich, welcome to the food chain.
Yeah, I think Mike needs to start registering whales and put tags on them while he's watching them. Hey, look, this is nothing more than more control. It's like they want in California, they want to control our thermostats now, right? You know, this is incremental control, and this is designed to get rid of all the small people in this country that are raising animals, so because the paperwork's going to be horrendous, keeping track of them. They just have the big boys out there, and they control the food. Once they control the food, they control us.
Well,
this is not being paranoid. This is just watching the incrementalism of controlling our lives in every facet.
You know, that's an interesting point, because this program was instituted in Canada because of the problems with bovine spongiform encephalopathy that they were having up there. So to do trade in the international marketplace, they went through this mandatory registration process. And the comments that I got were kind of all the same. Hey, it's no big deal, except if you're a real small farmer, and then you're in trouble because of the cost of keeping track of everything. And that's what I keep wondering about. You know, driving down through California's Central Valley here a week or so ago, and I saw a field that had about 150 goats in it, and they were beautiful goats of some kind of exotic breed, you know. And I got to thinking, what a terrifying thing it must be to have to be a farmer and have to keep track of every one of those goats and to report where those goats are heading for to the federal government. You know, if you're going to take your goat out and breed it to another animal, you have to report that to the federal government. Let's see. Rich, can you hang on for a second? We'll finish up. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Folks, this is the Food Chain. Michael Olson here. We're talking about the National Animal Identification System with you. We were going to be speaking with Undersecretary of Agriculture Bruce Knight, but like a ghost in the night, he disappeared on us. I think he's down in Alabama kissing babies, or maybe in Arkansas on a chili cook-off or something. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Right back. Well, maybe I am being paranoid, by golly, when it gets right down to it. Maybe Mike is right. Maybe I look at this situation. Maybe it was because Undersecretary of Agriculture Bruce Knight ran off without talking with us that I got paranoid. But I just keep thinking that somehow, beneath all of these good intentions to control our food chain, they're trying to chase small farmers out of business so that we must get our food from somebody else. So, Sharon, let me ask you this. You talked earlier about how you see a lot of small farmers getting rid of their animals. Is that true?
Yes, and horse people.
And getting rid of horses, because all horses have to have a radio chip, right?
They will. They will. And then they also got rid of all the horse slaughterhouses in this country. Mm-hmm. So right now, I mean, you could buy a horse for nothing, really.
Yeah, because when a horse dies, then you can't eat it.
Not in this country.
What do you have to do with it?
Bury it.
Bury it, huh.
And the Humane Society just is trying to make a new bill that says that pets, including horses, would have to be buried 6 feet deep, same as humans, as opposed to composting them, which is really the smarter thing to do.
Okay, Rich, are you paranoid too?
No, I'm not paranoid. I've just been around for 60-some years, and I've been seeing the society slowly get controlled one implement after another. You know, the big guys have the money and the resources to do this for all their individual animals, but obviously they're not going to spend the money to do that.
Why isn't there a cutoff between, you know, one kind of agriculture and the other? I mean, why does Sharon Zeccanelli with 13 chickens in Vermont have to operate by the same rules that some giant chicken factory in South Carolina has to operate by? Isn't there a difference there? Why do you have to go by the same rules, Sharon?
I think it's so that the factory farms can hide their omissions in animal care. You know. You said you had John Wiemers on. John Wiemers told me, we will drive every back road to find every chicken.
And there you are.
I have one more suggestion.
Go ahead.
And that is, we need a federal employee, bureaucrat, and politician's identification act that all of them wear ankle bracelets and have audio and video so that we can track any of them, where they're going, and see whether what kind of secret deals they're putting together.
See where the money's coming from.
You know what this Knight ought to do? In his own department, track his employees and see how they like it. Do that as an experimental program. If they can make that work and have the employees be happy, then we'll think about the other.
All right, Rich. Thanks for a good paranoid call. I'm with you there. Let's go to Bob. Bob is a small farmer. Welcome to the food chain, Bob.
Oh, thank you.
You bet.
There's a lot to be said for the small farmers in America, and there isn't enough time to go over all the good things, but one of the things I want to point out is that they are the repository of a lot of animal genetics that aren't being seen after by the large scale farmers. You know what I mean?
Especially now going into cloning Because those large-scale operations are going to be getting rid of almost all the genetics in favor of maybe one or two specimens, which will be cloned.
Yeah, the New York Times article, the head of one of the cloning operations thought that meat should be like Cheerios. You get the same box in New Jersey as you get in Idaho.
Mm-hmm. I read that one.
And all of whom forget the lesson of the great Irish potato famine, right?
Yeah. And
we're in one variety.
The Holstein cow.
Yeah. So, Bob, am I being paranoid here? In thinking that that there is a secondary purpose to all of this, which is to get rid of small farmers?
You know, a lot of people think, oh, it could never happen here. This is too crazy. People will see the light. It won't happen. But it's happened in European countries, in Ireland, where some previously really famous breeds of cattle are now on the endangered list, the milking shorthorn and the Scottish Highland beef, the choice of the Queen of England, but because of regulations now, they can't let the animal grow old enough to where the beef has any flavor. So there's no sense in growing it. So there are American farmers left still growing that animal.
Let me ask you this, Bob. Were you Under Secretary of Agriculture Bruce Knight? I see their phones are having fun today.
Yeah.
Were you the Undersecretary of Agriculture? And if I were to ask you the question, Undersecretary, are you trying to get rid of small farmers? What would you say?
Well, I would deny it, of course, and just say that. But we have to look after food safety, and I don't know. A lot of us small farmers are not getting rich. We're doing it because we love the quality of life. And that quality of life will be greatly diminished by amounts of paperwork, by having to register our premises, which would be a deed encumbrance.
Yes, thank you.
We would lose our constitutional rights,
thank you,
our Fourth Amendment rights to unreasonable search and seizure without due process. And it makes the already hard labor, low money life of caring for animals, which we love, it makes it a bit less possible.
Do you think they're trying to chase you out of business?
That may be paranoid. I think some of them are. I think, you go back to the 1950s and Earl Butz and Edward Aspenson, they're saying they get big or get out.
Get big or get out. Tony, have to go to a quick break. Thank you so much for the call. Great call. A little bit paranoid, but we have Tony coming up when we get back here from the break. Folks, Michael Olson here. This is The Food Chain. We're talking the National Animal Identification System with you, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Right back. Well, it always happens like this, doesn't it? Someone, somewhere comes up with a great notion to save the world, or to make a ton of money, or to save the world and make a ton of money. They enlist very important people to work their scheme through the government and into law or regulation. When they succeed in establishing their great notion, they and their very important people disappear like ghosts in the night and leave us to live with their great notion and its attendant army of unfeeling, unthinking, unblinking bureaucrats. And that's what's happened to us today. Bruce Knight, the Undersecretary of Agriculture, was to come and tell us about his program to register and track all farm animals across the United States, but at the very last minute, he ran off to Arkansas or Alabama or who knows where. So we're alone to face the prospect of a registered future. We're talking with Sharon Zeccanelli up in Vermont, and we also have Tony. Tony, welcome to The Food Chain.
Good morning, Michael.
Welcome aboard.
I was thinking, a politician once said, I don't remember who it was, but I remember hearing it, that nothing just happens in politics. So I'll leave you to think about that one. But
that what happens in politics?
Nothing just happens in politics.
Nothing just happens in politics.
Yes.
And what was it that Deep Throat said?
Yeah. I'm trying to remember that one now, but I don't remember.
He said follow the money.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. So you put those two together, and all of a sudden it, you might think there's an agenda or something there.
Well, and that's, I guess, what I'm paranoid about. And that's what I hoped, that Undersecretary of Bruce Knight would come and tell me that no, there is no attempt here to get rid of small farms in the United States, that that they're going to somehow watch over the small farms and that everything is going to work fine. But somehow he disappeared, and so I guess I'm paranoid now because he didn't come to tell me it was going to work out like that. So, Tony, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Let's go to Rick. Rick, welcome to the food chain.
Hi, Michael. How you doing?
Very good. Thank you for the call.
You know, to me, it seems like too much order sometimes is worse than none at all. And where's the freedom when they say these are the laws and the rules and you will follow them or else? No deviation will be allowed. You know what I mean? Welcome to Agenda 21.
Sharon, is that the way you feel when you hear this? When you look at this, you feel like you're kind of trapped?
At the risk of sounding paranoid, yeah, because this really does have its roots in the Agenda 21. I mean, it gets so deep. There's so much more to it. It's not just the food, you know.
So just because you're paranoid does not mean they're not out to get you.
Well, I don't have my tinfoil hat on today.
Uh-huh. So where do we go from here, Sharon? This is a done deal, isn't it?
What's that?
Is this a done deal?
No, I don't believe it's a done deal. They heard us once, and that was when they put out their new user's guide that, quote-unquote, softened their message. I think, though, what people have to do is just keep on telling other people about it. For California, there is on Yahoo list groups a California Against NACE, and I would like to encourage people to search that out and join it. And see what California can do, because I know you people are having a big raw milk battle out there,
It's
all part and parcel of the
same thing. Same thing. Okay, thank you so much, Sharon Zeccanelli, for joining us from Vermont. And thank all of you out there for tuning in the food chain. Remember, cheap food isn't. Stay tuned next week for more What's Eating What Radio right here
on
the food
chain.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.